Good morning. My name is Trevor Williams. I'm a retired bishop of Limerick and Killaloe, which no longer exists because it's now combined with the next door diocese. I live in Dundrum, so I'm here to deputise for your rector, who can't be with us this morning. On page 201, we begin our service of Holy Communion. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
We say it together. Almighty God,
Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We sing the Gloria. Collect for the eighth Sunday of Trinity. Blessed are you, O Lord, and blessed are those who observe and keep your law. Help us to seek you with our whole heart, to delight in your commandments, and to walk in the glorious liberty given us by your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated for the first reading.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and of fat of the fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you have made many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sons are like scarlet, they are also like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall also be like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, so that what was seen was made from things that were not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, and as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Graduate hymn is number 145, You Servants of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning to read at the 32nd verse. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the Gospel of Christ. May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to talk for a few moments about Abraham, who figured in our epistle. Our reading from Hebrews is an action taken by a person who was full of hope. It said that without hope you may survive, but without hope you will not thrive. And there's pretty few grounds for hope in the world around us. As we've all become too aware, unless we change the way we live and the way we consume the precious resources of this earth, we will undoubtedly destroy not only our lives but our planet. And what is doubly depressing is how slow all of us are to respond to this reality. The United Nations have told us that peace is more under threat around the world at this time than it has been for any other of the 80 years since World War II. 2 billion people, a quarter of the world's population, currently live in conflict-affected areas. So is this secret of hope found in our reading from the letter to the Hebrews? Let's find out. What kind of hope led Abraham to leave his comfortable, prosperous lifestyle in Ur of the Chaldees in the hope of a new home? Where was he going? Well, that wasn't given. How long would it take to get there? He didn't know. So what was he to do? What he was to do, God said, was to leave. That's all. That's a strange kind of hope to have. But Abraham's hope wasn't built on a fully worked out plan. His hope wasn't about knowing the precise what, where, when, and how of his calling. So what was his hope built on? What made him to actually uproot himself, his family, from the comfort of their home and set off into the desert? What was it? Abraham's hope wasn't optimism. Sure, it'll be all right in the end kind of hope. His hope was not that of a gambler who just loves taking risks because he's addicted to the rush of adrenaline he gets when he does something really exciting. Abraham set out in hope because of his faith. Beneath Abraham's solid, unwavering hope was the bedrock of faith. In James, we read that Abraham was called the friend of God. Abraham not only worshipped God, he knew God. So he was called the friend of God. Abraham trusted God to be true to his word. So Abraham packed up, risked everything because he knew he was doing the right thing because God had told him. After Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, he didn't have it easy. Gone was his settled, secure life. Now he was living in tents, moving on again and again. And the hopeful promise he was given that he would become the father of many nations and who would be blessed because of him, one problem with that, he was old and his wife was beyond normal childbearing age. Still, Abraham was hopeful. And in this matter, at least, his hopes came true with the birth of Isaac and Jacob. But where was this place he was heading for? He still didn't know. And in fact, he never did know. Yet, till his death, he remained a man of hope because he remained a man of faith. It's a truly remarkable story. And Abraham was a remarkable man of faith. Well, I don't pretend to be an Abraham as I stand before you this morning, but I am pleased to be with you at this service of Holy Communion. The fact that we are celebrating this service of thanksgiving, this Eucharist, which is the meaning of Eucharist, is that we actually know more about God than Abraham did. That is what we are celebrating. Because we know that God is a God of love. We know that God's love is for all his creation. We know that God's love is the greatest power in this world, despite what we see around us. We know that God's love is for you and for me. We know that God's love extends to everyone, friends and foe alike. We don't know, as Abraham didn't, what the future will bring. Nothing can change that. The future is not ours to know. But we know who will walk with us. God has said he will never leave us or forsake us. Apparently there are over 100 texts in the Bible that tell us that fact. And how do we know this to be true and not just some kind of ideal fantasy that was someone dreamt up? We know this because of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We know because of how Jesus lived, how Jesus loved, and the way that he died. Did you ever think it strange that the central act of worship, which we are engaging in this morning, and as all Christians do throughout the world, who follow the Christian faith, the central act of worship is actually commemorating the death of their leader? It's a bit strange, isn't it? How is it this morning we celebrate the death of Jesus? We celebrate because the death of Jesus is the key to understanding the extent of God's love. Jesus was willing to give his all for us. Through his human life, in his love for the outcast and the sinner, in his teaching about God's kingdom of peace and justice, we have been taught in word and deed about who God is. But it's in the cross of Jesus that we learn most. It was necessary for Jesus to lose all in this earthly life to reveal to us what was most important about God: the width, depth, and breadth of God's love for each one of us. We celebrate the death of Jesus because it teaches us not only of God's love for us, but also that death is not the end. When Jesus rose on Easter Sunday, the greatest fear of human existence, death itself, has lost its fear. The violence and evil of this world did its worst in putting Jesus to death. But the violence and evil of this world do not have the last word. That's what we know. Jesus is raised from the dead. That proves it. Evil does not have the last word. Love does. Bishop Desmond Tutu, reflecting on what he had learnt about the death and resurrection, wrote these words: "Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours," he said, "through him who loved us." That is what the cross proves to us in our living today. Abraham, whose faith in God led him to trust God completely and respond to his call. The same call comes to us, to respond to God's love in the way that Abraham did. God invites us to respond to his love by loving others. As Jesus put it, "Love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." What a world this would be if people lived like that. If this world was characterized not by strife, by wars, by unequal distribution of goods so that so many people die of poverty, but a world characterized by love and relationships of love one with the other. That's our task as we leave church this morning, to be channels of God's love for this desperately needy world. That is our hope, because we have faith through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have faith in God's love for us and for his world. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen.
We stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Let's pray for the church in the world. And on this Sunday, where all the bishops of the Anglican Communion are meeting in Canterbury, let's pray for the Lambeth Conference. O God, by your grace and spirit, you have raised up witnesses and servants in many lands and cultures. Pour out your blessing upon the churches and provinces of the Anglican Communion and upon their leaders as they gather for fellowship in the Lambeth Conference, that their diversity may enrich their common witness and service to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We live in a world craving for peace, yet wars are more common than ever. Lead us, Heavenly Father, in the ways of peace. We pray for peace between Israelis and Palestinians, for an end to the war in Ukraine, and increase in the provision of Ukraine's grain to feed the world's poor. Restore our love for one another. Encourage the peacemakers that our hearts may long for peace, justice, and reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our local community facing the cost of living crisis, the intolerable waiting lists for health services, the inadequate provision of care for the vulnerable. We pray for our political leaders that they may work together for the common good and more closely reflect your love for the world. Lord, in your mercy. And now, in a moment when we can call to mind those we know who are in need, and we reflect of whether there is a way God may be calling us to be agents of his love for them. Lord, guide us, empower us, and use what little we can do to further your kingdom of justice, peace, and love. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for those whom you have called to their final rest. We thank you for the example and witness of their love. May we be encouraged to follow in the way of Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We conclude our prayers by joining together with the Lord's Prayer in the traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Please stand. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us acknowledge one another in giving a sign of peace.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. The offertory hymn is in the small book, I think, 157. We pray thee, Heavenly Father.
Hear us in thy love.
Be present, Lord Jesus Christ, our risen High Priest. Make yourself known in the breaking of bread. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great High Priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church, and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us, and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one body. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you. You in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. You don't bless you. Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you. Keep you in eternal life.
I think just bring them as they are.
Let us pray. Strengthen for service, Lord, the hands that holy things have taken. May the ears which have heard your word be deaf to clamor and dispute. May the tongues which have sung your praise be free from deceit. May the eyes which have seen the tokens of your love shine with the light of hope. And may the bodies which have been fed with your body be refreshed with the fullness of your life. Glory to you forever. Amen.
Almighty God,
we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and be with those you love, now and forevermore. Amen. Hymn 647.